Welcome back to the deep dive. You know, it's always fascinating how sometimes the smallest things, tiny objects really, can hold these immense stories, right? Give you surprising insights.
Absolutely. They're like little time capsules, aren't they?
I
Tangible
am.
links to a specific moment.
Exactly. And today, that's precisely what we're doing. We are plunging into the, captivating world of rare stamps.
A fantastic world to explore.
It really is. Our mission for this deep dive is to get under the skin of the legendary Russia number one stamp, a true icon of the Russian Empire's postal history.
Definitely an icon.
And it's not just any old icon, it's a major highlight in the upcoming Ilin collection auction. So we want to uncover why this particular stamp is so incredibly rare, what makes it so appealing to collectors.
The lure is strong.
It is. And along the way, we'll spotlight some truly extraordinary pieces from this very special catalog.
And it's important to remember, these aren't just stamps. You really have to think of them as miniature historical documents.
Yeah, I like that. Miniature documents.
Each one carries a unique story, a connection to the administration, the society, even the technology of its time. It lets you kind of reach back and touch the past.
Brings history to life, basically.
In a very profound way, yes.
Okay, so let's unpack this then. Let's go back to the beginning of this legend. We're talking about the Russian Empire's first postage stamp, officially hitting the scene in December 1857.
Right. And you have to picture the Tsarist Empire then, vast, sprawling. Communication was complicated.
Complicated is putting it mildly, I imagine. Before this stamp, postal fees were confusing, inconsistent.
Oh, very much so, and
Yeah.
often expensive. This little stamp, it wasn't just paper, it was a genuine revolution in communication for many.
How so?
Well, it radically simplified postal fees, made mail suddenly accessible to the general public in a way it hadn't been before. It really kickstarted the whole move towards a modern postal system across that enormous territory.
So it wasn't just convenience, it was a huge administrative leap forward.
A massive leap, yes. It democratized communication fundamentally.
Yeah.
More people connecting across huge distances.
Right.
And here's a fun detail. The first documented use, actually December 31st, 1857, a day before the official launch.
No kidding. So they were eager to get it out there.
Seems like it.
Yeah.
Shows the urgency, maybe the excitement too.
Okay, but here's where it gets really interesting, right? The story behind its rarity, it involves an accident, a broken machine.
Exactly. This is classic accidental rarity. Picture the scene. Production's underway. They need hundreds of thousands ready for launch day.
Okay.
And bam, the crucial perforating machine, specially imported from Vienna, breaks down, just stops working.
Oh, wow. Right before the deadline.
Terrible timing. And with the official date looming, no way to perforate the sheets. What do you do?
Panic.
Probably some of that. But the solution was pragmatic. To meet the deadline, they distributed the smallest denomination, the 10 kopeck, unperforated, especially to the more remote
Just
areas.
sent them out without the little holes.
Yep. An act of pure necessity born from a mechanical failure. And that single decision, that hiccup, created the very rarity that collectors, prize so highly today.
So that broken machine is the key. But I mean, did they fix it quickly? What's the difference between this first unperforated one and the stamps that came right after?
That's a crucial question. They share the same printing plates, the basic design is identical, but their stories diverge right there at the perforation point.
Oh.
The first batch, the true Russia number one, born of that urgent need, went out unperforated, a very limited print run in that
Right,
state.
accidental ones.
Exactly. Then, once the Vienna machine was fixed, which happened relatively quickly, they started producing the same 10 kopeck stamp, but now perforated. That became the standard issue, mass-produced.
Ah, I see. So the number one is specifically the unperforated version from that brief window.
Precisely. That seemingly minor technical difference, perforated versus imperforated, is absolutely key to their different histories and, of course, their values.
So what does that mean for its appeal today? We know it's rare, but how rare, especially used on original letters?
The scarcity is, well, it's staggering. If you look at used examples on original letters, what collectors call entires or covers,
Yeah.
according to Guido Craveri's very thorough 2021 census, which is the reference work, only 458 such items are known to exist worldwide.
458, that's nothing.
It's incredibly low. To give you some perspective, think about the famous British penny black.
Okay.
There are hundreds of examples known just from its first week of use, compared to 458 total recorded number one covers ever.
Wow. Okay, that really puts it in context.
So you have this extreme rarity combined with the stamps, simple classic elegance, and the enduring popularity of Russian philately. It all adds up to a very high collector value.
Each one is genuinely a piece of history.
A tangible piece of Russian history, capturing that unique moment.
And for anyone listening who wants to really dive deep into this, you mentioned Guido Craveri's census.
Yes. His book, Census of the 1857 10 Kopeck Imperforate Stamp of Russia. It's invaluable, beautifully illustrated, incredibly detailed.
A must-have for serious collectors.
Absolutely. It's a testament to the fascination with this stamp. And actually, it's available now at a special collector's price of 80 euros, which is a significant discount worth
Wow.
looking into if you're serious.
Good to know. Okay, let's bring this history to life even more. Let's look at some specific examples from the Elin collection itself. We've gone through the special catalog and picked out three highlights that really showcase the rarity and the stories we've been talking about.
Sounds good. Where do we start?
Right, first stop, lot 544. This takes us to Linzenhof, which is in modern-day Latvia. It's a 10 Kopeck brown and blue stamp. Looks like a nice one. Large margins, lower right sheet corner.
Corner margins are always desirable.
But the spectacular part is the cancellation. It's tied to the letter sheet, the original folded letter, by a clear purple pre-philatelic double line cancellation. Reads, Linzenhof 4, April 1858.
Ah, now that is special. Purple ink is unusual, and finding it tying a number one to an entire letter sheet.
How special are we talking?
We're talking unique. This is the only recorded Russia number one entire known with this specific colored cancellation. The only one.
Wow.
It makes it one of those spectacular, most important covers featuring a single number one stamp. Just visually stunning, historically significant.
And it has provenance too.
Oh, yes. It carries signatures from respected philatelists Emilio Diana and Alberto Diana, plus a 1995 certificate from Mikulski, a top expert. The starting price reflects its uniqueness, 15,000 euros.
Incredible. Shows the stamp, the journey, the context, all in one piece.
Exactly, the whole package.
Okay, next up, lot 578. We're moving to Ustyuzhna for this one. The catalog calls it a greatest rarity.
High praise. What have we got?
It features the 10 Kopeck brown and blue Russia, number one, the imperforate one, but it's in combination with a later stamp, an 1858 perforated 20 Kopeck blue and orange.
Oh, a mixed franking. Very nice.
Right. And both stamps are tied, looks like by three strikes of a straight line USTYUZHNA cancellation onto a small piece of the original cover.
Okay, so connecting this back to what we discussed earlier, a mixed franking like this is hugely significant.
Why exactly?
Because it visually captures that transition period we talked about. You literally see the imperforate accident, the number one, side by side with the later perforated standard issue on the same piece of mail.
It's like a snapshot of postal history evolving.
Precisely. It illustrates the era perfectly, a tangible demonstration of the shift. And this piece has amazing provenance, too. It was part of the famous Fabergé collection.
The Fabergé. Wow.
Yes, that Fabergé. And later, the Z.S. Mikulski collection as well adds incredible prestige. Starting price here is 12,000 euros.
Amazing piece. Okay, one more highlight. Lot 517. This one's from the St. Petersburg General Post Office.
Right in the capital.
And this one really shows how subtle details can create huge rarity. It's another 10 Kopeck brown and blue, but it's a specific variety. It has a large watermark.
Ah, watermark varieties. Always interesting for specialists. What's the detail here?
A watermark number, that faint design pressed into the paper itself is 4 millimeters wide instead of the standard 3.5 millimeter.
Okay, so half a millimeter difference. That sounds tiny.
Tiny difference. Huge impact on rarity. This seemingly small variation makes it a great rarity. How rare? Well, apparently only one other copy of this specific large watermark variety has ever been recorded.
Just one other. That's extreme scarcity.
Exactly. It comes with a certificate from the Philatelic Foundation of Russia, dated 2010, and the starting price is 4,000 euros. It just proves that sometimes the smallest deviation, something you might barely notice, creates the biggest value for collectors.
It really does. Manufacturing variations, errors, accidents. They often drive the rarest finds in philately. That half millimeter tells a story.
What an incredible journey. I mean, thinking about it, a tiny piece of paper telling this grand story. Accidental rarity, a broken machine, innovation, history.
It really is remarkable. From that workshop in Vienna to being a global collecting phenomenon. The Russia number one does stand alone.
It really does.
And these examples from the Elin collection, they aren't just about money. They're historical documents, truly, each with its own narrative.
And verifiable authenticity, which is crucial. You mentioned certificates from Mikulski Bukstaju.
Expert verification is paramount in this field. It guarantees you're looking at the genuine article. We really encourage you, if you're interested, explore these stories further. Delve into the details.
And you can do that by checking out the full Elin Collection special catalog. The auction itself is happening at Heinrich Kuhler Ochsenshaus in Wiesbaden, Germany. That's on Thursday, September 18th, 2025, starting at 3 p.m.
Right, and the full catalog is online. You can view everything at www.heinrich-kohler.de.
We'll put that link in the description, of course.
And don't forget, for those who want the definitive guide on the stamp itself, Guido Craveri's census book is available at that special collector's price. An indispensable resource.
Definitely. So as we wrap up this deep dive, here's a thought. What other seemingly ordinary objects are around us right now? Things born from necessity, maybe even a simple mistake, that might be telling extraordinary stories we just haven't noticed yet, or things that could one day become these treasured artifacts. What might you be holding or walking past every day that future generations will marvel at?
That's a great question. The deep dive continues in your mind, doesn't it? Long after the audio fades.
It certainly does. Until next time, keep digging, keep exploring, and definitely keep those curiosity engines running.